You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the man just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Heading into one of my favorite segments of every single week, we do this thing called the Grand Council. We convene with my brethren Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN, our program director and morning show host, and then our buddy Jeff Poor from 106.5 down on the coastal areas, who used to be here at VNN, but now he's gone south on us. But nonetheless, we are a group of three conservatives, and we ping each other with questions, and we see where we stand. So I will call the roll. Jeff Poor, are you with us, my buddy?
I am present.
You are indeed present. Thank you for that. Dale Jackson, calling on you.
Always ready, sir.
Always ready. Copper, you got a sound effect? Hit that sound effect.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right, the horns have sounded. I pronounce a quorum present, so I'm going to go ahead and say, Dale Jackson, you can start us off this week. What's your first question for the group, buddy?
All right, your buddy Tim James running around the state talking about all sorts of stuff. Is he ready to run for governor, and does he have a legitimate chance?
Well, I'll jump in first. So I just saw, literally, like as I was getting ready, I just saw that 12 minutes ago, post went up online on Twitter that Governor Kay Ivey has been voted among the nation's most popular governors, holding the highest job approval in the Southeast. Interesting. But popularity doesn't mean everything. I think she's more at risk right now than she's been in quite a while with some of the recent decision-making. I think Tim James is the only person right now out there that I know of who give her a run if he wanted to. I think he will get in the race. That's my thoughts. Jeff, what about you?
Well, first off, popularity, that's important, but she has to win over Republican primary voters and quite potentially Republican primary runoff of voters. So is she able to do that, given what we know about right now? One comment about Tim James, is he ready or not? Had him on the show yesterday down here in Mobile, and it was Tim James versus the world. I think if he's going to run for governor, he needs maybe to back off attacking the Alabama legislature, especially back off. I don't know about the gambling. Maybe at one time you could run as a Republican, as an anti-gambling Republican. I don't know if that's in the cards anymore or not. But I think if you focus on Kay Ivey, then maybe you make some political hay. I just don't know that he's really finely tuned a message that would carry him, at least to be competitive in a head-to-head matchup against her.
Insightful. Insightful from Jeff Poor. Dale Jackson, what say you on your own question?
I mean, I think he's obviously running. I think she's vulnerable in the sense that if he hammers home the education stuff and the vaccine stuff, I think he's got somewhat of a chance.
I agree. I think it's where he's got to stay. I think Jeff and you and I have collaborated on the decision that he's the only one right now we know of who could run and do it. All right. I'll take the next question here. So listen, a little while ago on the show here, I had State Representative Charlotte Meadows. She's been a school choice advocate for years. And we talked about the advantages of school choice in even our neighboring states. I mean, all around us, we're ranked number 50 in the nation. And yet around us, other states are improving mostly by doing things differently than they've done them before. We seem to be stuck in a rut. Are we going to see the teachers union keep school choice at bay in the next legislative session? Dale, what say you?
I think absolutely. I think it's a no-brainer. I'm not saying they're more powerful than they've ever been, but they're more powerful than they've been in a while, and I don't understand it. There was a story out this week. They lost 6,000 students. Those are their customers, or at least the parents are their customers, and they bailed. And I think that they should be losing stroke that way, but it doesn't really appear that that's exactly what's happening.
Interesting. Jeff, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I don't think it's happening in this session. Look, it's not just the AEA. It's also these school administrators. Whenever I talk to these legislators about voting for some kind of school choice bill, they tell me they hear from their school superintendents, They hear from principals, and they are just opposed to this. So I think it's not just the AEA. It's the people associated with the AEA. It's the membership that are really pushing hard back against legislators. It's going to take something more to overcome that force. And I just don't know that the pro-school choice forces in this state are organized enough to go up head-to-head against such a well-organized education, we'll call it like administrative state, deep state, or whatever you want to refer to it as.
Well, at some point, though, I think they're gonna have to pay attention to the fact that Alabama is going to look like the center of a donut. We're the hole, and all around us are states that are rising because they're implementing policies that are different than what they've done in the past. And for us to remain number 50 in the nation and do nothing different is going to be something that people can campaign on if they'll get themselves together and campaign on. I think, speaking of which, I think Tim James can make hay out of that, too, if he wanted to. All right, Jeff, your question, brother.
All right, guys, the CBO, I don't know why we still have a Congressional Budget Office, but you're going to get a kick out of this. So the Build Back Better Act, this big spending bill, they have scored this piece of legislation and just revealed to us it will actually decrease the deficit. It anticipates a $797.7 billion decrease in the deficit. And $1.2 trillion in spending direct spending of $400 billion, but it will net decrease the deficit. So here's a question: we've seen these CBO projections before in the past. We saw with Obamacare. Why are we allowing Congress, the media, all of these institutions to peddle these baseline estimates, these estimates from the Congressional Budget Office, as if they are in any way credible?
You first, Dale.
There's no reason. There's absolutely no reason to be doing that. And I think we all know this. The real question, I guess, it all boils down to this. Does Joe Manchin believe it? I mean, I hate to be that guy, but that's really all that really matters here, right?
Yeah. Were you through there, Dale?
Yeah.
So I'll jump on that, too. And by the way, Charlene, who is like my number one groupie/researcher, she just sent me a press release from Senator Rick Scott. You can go on his website. He's got a breakdown of all the things in the CBO score, the different components of the bill. It's awful. And the idea that they can say this reduces the deficit, that's laughable, and everybody knows it. The only way they can reduce the deficit is to increase their revenue production, which means raising taxes within the bill. That's a joke, and we all know it. But the truth is, yeah, you're right. Why do we have these institutions? I don't know. Jeff, I don't have an answer for you. I guess because it's like, you know, putting salve on a wound. It just makes you feel better to say you scored it. But I agree with Dale. I think it's going to be, what does Joe Manchin, what does Kirsten Sinema want to do? And I think we better hold the line on this. If we see more defections among our Republican colleagues, there's going to be some blood in the water, I would say. What do you think, Jeff? Your own question. What do you think?
Well, we have this apparatus in government that gives cover to Congress to do these outrageous things. And, you know, that is something that I think if Republicans want to make some hay, you don't necessarily need the president to tell the Congress how to conduct its affairs. I think the CBO office, that they keep putting these projections out there, needs some serious reform, because you cannot give future Congresses cover to do these silly, these just high price tag items on the backs of the American people, and then give up these phony estimates and expect us and a lot of media outlets do take them credible.
Yep. That's fair. That's also frustrating. But they'll be touting it. It'll be out there. Look how well, it's not going to cost a thing. All right, fellas, we're up against a break. Copper, run us to the break, my friend. And so, listen, we'll be right back with the Grand Council. Jeff Poor from 106.5, Dale Jackson and myself from right here at 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, yeah, just plain right. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, going right back to the Grand Council, I've got my friends Jeff Poor from 106.5, and I've got Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN. We are pinging questions off each other like we do every Thursday on the Grand Council. Dale, I believe we're back to you. What's your next question, bud?
Kamala Harris.
Kamala.
Apparently under a lot of stress right now, not doing a very good job, at least most people don't think she is. Is there a chance that they stop with her and really go to Pete Buttigieg?
Jeff, you're first, man.
Small chance. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities. It's certainly, you know, more of a possibility than we would think. But I mean, the Democrats. It would do damage to the Democratic Party, and any hope you get a Democrat elected, be a Biden or somebody else in 2024. But it shouldn't be surprising. I've never had much faith in Kamala Harris. I thought she did a lousy job as a presidential candidate. She just checks all the boxes on paper. She wasn't that great of an attorney general. You had to see this coming. It's just the Biden administration, I think, when they named her, or the Biden campaign, when they named her his running mate, that they were just looking for, like I said, that box-checking person to be on the ticket.
Yeah, well, they're paying for it now. Although I will say this, she dated Montel Williams, I found out the other night. That was interesting. Did not know that. But
I saw Tucker Carlson that night.
That was quite the segment. But Kamala Harris, I mean, it's like one gaffe after another. It's almost painful to watch. She just today, breaking news right now online, is that just today she fired her communications director, which is a clear indication that she thought her messaging was not going the way it was supposed to go. You think? So, I agree with you, Jeff. I don't think that the party can afford to look like they put the wrong person in the first time. But they're going to have to find a way for her to gracefully walk away as opposed to, not run. So we'll see how that goes. If nothing else, I mean, people still wonder, by the way, there's actual polling right now that shows that a vast majority of Americans are beginning to get concerned about whether Biden has the capacity to finish out this term. And then the idea would be that she would be an incumbent running for reelection, which would be a whole other ballgame. But we'll see. Jeff, Dale, what do you think?
No, I think it seems very unlikely, but man, do we love talking about it.
Dated Montel Williams. All right. Hey, listen, here's my question. Did a whole segment on the show yesterday about this Rittenhouse trial, and not because, I'm getting in media hype, but it's because it's a trial that reflects so much of what our nation went through last year. And it's also been just literally lampooned by liberals who are constantly calling this a racist-based trial, never mind the fact that it's, a white kid shot three other white guys, but the fact that they were at a race riot is what apparently makes it racism. So here's my question for you. How do you view the racist calls as to the Rittenhouse trial? What would you respond to if one of your callers called in and called it racist? I'll let you go first, Jeff.
Well, and some of we all, you can't, I guess you can't ignore the racial component, but looking at this, knowing what we know now, it's pretty clear Rittenhouse wasn't, as the media have portrayed him, he wasn't some white supremacist looking to go to Kenosha, Wisconsin to gun down black people. We now know that is not true. But that's what you have to explain, that there's maybe some questions about his reason why he was there or whatever it may have been. And we can have that discussion, but that's not what's on trial. That shouldn't be conflated with what's on trial. And you have to, when you talk to these people and they call in or they text in my show, you have to explain to them that these are two different topics. And this is not what we are adjudicating right now.
Yeah, great, great point. Dale, how would you respond to a caller on this?
I think the racists are clearly the people who think that there's a racial issue when a white guy shoots three other white guys. And I just don't understand how they make that argument or get there. But enough of our friends in the media have gotten this story wrong that people think that he was out there gunning down black people as opposed to what actually happened there. And that is the only people he shot were the people attacking him.
Yeah, and you know, I had a great segment on this yesterday, and I had former U.S. Attorney Jay Towne on to sort of unpack it from a legal perspective. And Jeff, you nailed it. I mean, one of the first things I would try to say to one of my callers is, your concerns about racism are not on trial. There's no hate crime. There are no charges for hate crimes. This is not even part of this trial process. You're making it part of the process, and that's where it sits. All right, we're down to it. Jeff, we got about a minute, man. Do a lightning round. You got one last question for us?
Yeah, Mo Brooks. We haven't heard much from him. We talked about this last week, the Brit surge. Whether you believe it's real or not, I think it's real. Mo Brooks hasn't done anything. Is he? Do you think he should be content with just kind of letting this play out and seeing what happens and to pick him up after the new year?
Well, I'll jump on that real quick. I think Mo's keeping his powder dry, but I think Britt has definitely surged. I mean, she's running a very positive, well-heeled, and orchestrated campaign, and it's obvious. But nonetheless, Mo's going to have to engage pretty quick, and I just think right now he's keeping his powder dry. Dale?
I think that's exactly what he's doing. I don't like it. I think he should be out there pounding away, but I think we all know exactly what's going to happen here. At the beginning of the year, all of this stuff is going to pick up. And I think that's when everyone will start paying attention.
Agree. All right, fellas, thank you. As always, the Grand Council, Jeff Poor from 106.5, Dale Jackson from right here at 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. This is indeed Right Side Radio, where we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. Coming back in a minute, we'll have the phones open, and I'll be talking about the border. Oh, man, the border. Do we have a border? It's a good question. Right Side Radio, we'll talk about it in just a minute.